Well, thank you, Jason. Can everyone hear me okay out there? I probably just forgot my entire speech after listening to Cassie talk. I'm worried about going home and trying to make videos so I can teach everyone what I need them to do in the next generation. Now, the good news I have for you, they asked me to speak quite a while ago, and I don't remember when, but I've put on quite a few miles this summer, this spring, and this fall, thinking about this very topic, how can young people get into the cattle business? For a long time, I didn't have the answer. One night, I was laying in bed, I sat straight up, I had the answer. So I'm here to share it with you guys today. Get your pens and papers ready. The best way to get into the cattle business is to marry into it. Unfortunately, that's not my path. So I married my wife, Becky, back in 1999. She's been a city girl her whole life. Her folks taught her at a young age you don't borrow money for anything, including the house that they lived in. So we've had a lot of interesting discussions over the years. By the time we grow our herd from 5 head to about 300 head, we've borrowed quite a bit of money over the years. So it's made for a lot of fun evenings. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our operation first. This is one of our bulls, PA Power Tool. I grew up on a very diversified livestock farm. We had about 100, 150 ewes that we lambed out. At one time, we had 50 sows that we farrowed in pens. I got to scoop them out every Saturday morning. We finished our feeder pigs out. And then we had around 100 commercial cows that we calved. From time to time, we'd buy some feeder calves and add to it. As with anyone's life, most of you guys have had this question. You get to be a senior in high school. They ask it now younger, I guess. But what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What do you want to be when you grow up? And really, to be honest with you, I didn't have an answer. So I thought about that for a little bit also, and I said, I'm going to be a farmer. My folks quickly corrected me and said, no, you're not going to be a farmer. You're going to go to college and get an education. So I started to look at colleges. The two things I wanted to do was get an animal science degree and play football. So I ended up at South Dakota State University. They allowed me to walk on that year and try out for the football team. Now, I tell you that story to tell you this one. The cool thing that happened my freshman year, we were at two-a-days. School hadn't even started yet. At the end of practice, we all gathered together as a team. We kneeled down. Coach would tell us, boy, guys, that was a great practice. Or, guys, that was a terrible practice. We need it to be better tomorrow or there's going to be some consequences. Whatever, there was always a message at the end of practice. So that particular day, there wasn't a message. It was a little bit different. We knelt down, we took our helmets off, and Coach Carl Larson, who was our offensive line coach, got to speak to us. Coach Larson had a message for us. He said, you have to have a dream. He talked about the importance of having a dream, shooting for something bigger, something beyond college, beyond football, beyond something in your life that can really set you apart and have something to go and drive you on and drive forward with. And as he talked, I got a couple of things that day. First, I got a sunburn. It's not that hard. I can do it just about any day of the year. Second, I did get a dream. I knew as he talked what I wanted to do. I wanted to own about 200 Angus cows. They weren't registered cows at that time, but that dream came also. As he talked, he said, though, it needs to be big. It needs to be a big dream, something that you can't see yourself doing without a lot of hard work, without a lot of effort, and without a few breaks in your life. So that dream grew from 300 all the way to 500 head by the time he was done talking. And I tell you that because it was important. Not that I wouldn't have maybe ended up here today doing this, but at a young age, I had a vision of what I wanted to do. I had no clue how I was going to do it, but that's where the rest of the story comes in. That spring, my freshman year of college, my dad co-signed on a loan, and I bought 5 registered Angus heifers for $3,500. Apparently, at that time, an 88 Dodge Shadow without air conditioning is not sufficient collateral for 5 registered heifers. So I had my heifers. I went through college. Those 5 heifers doubled to 10 heifers by the time I graduated college. Now, the one lesson I learned right away is I did a bad job picking my heifers. None of them were left by the time I graduated, and I'm not positive that any of them had a daughter in the herd at that point either. It was time to graduate again. We get the question, so what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to be? Well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to farm. It was an easy answer. And part of it is because I was comfortable there. I felt at ease. My folks right away, no, you're not. There's not enough here for us, let alone supporting another family. So I start to take interviews, look at different jobs. Finally, I found a job that I liked, and lo and behold, I was able to get it. I took a job as a nutritionist working for Senex Harvest States Feed in feed sales and support. That job turned into another job, and eventually I became a beef specialist, and I was very fortunate to be able to work with hundreds of thousands of head of feedlot cattle, cow-calf operations from 5 to 2,500 head. But the cool thing is I had a passion for genetics. I was growing my herd. I got to see how nutrition fit into genetics on a daily basis. The other thing that happened at that time was I got to know a few guys. I developed a mentor, several mentors actually, but I had a friend, a customer, and a mentor that let me put 4 bulls on the end of his sale. So in 2005, I consigned 4 Angus bulls to the back end of Tony Seek's Thousand Oaks Angus sale. It went all right. The next year, I got to consign 8. Well, after that sale, Tony said, "You can't do this anymore. We're going to have a dispersal. You're going to have to do something else. I'm sorry." That happened. That was fine. Tony dispersed. I found one other partner. We formed our own sale at home. Our cow herd had grown to over 40 cows at this time. So in 2007, I had my very first production sale. I got the catalog out the other day just to make sure my numbers were right. Myself and one other person, we had 36 Angus bulls. We had 24 weaned heifer calves or yearling heifers at that sale. And our sale is still held in this facility today. The facility will hold about 400 people on a good day. Well, that first sale, we had less than 60 people. We gave out about 21 buyer numbers. And of the other people that were there, a lot of them were friends, family, and people that went to our church. I'm sure that most of those people had never been in a sale barn before, and I'm pretty sure that they've never been in a barn again. Needless to say, the first sale was a bit of a struggle. Of the 36 bulls, we sold 7 of them. And of the 24 heifers, we sold 10. So you wonder, why am I doing this? Why am I giving up my nights, giving up my weekends, putting all this effort and time in, and putting this stress on our family and myself? And I really got back to that old question, what do I want to be when I grow up, and what is my vision for that? And I decided that, yeah, I wanted to keep doing this. I wanted to grow the herd. And I was lucky at that point with 40 cows, and there just wasn't a lot of debt at that point. I was able to get through that year and get through that time. 2008 and 2009 brought an opportunity for me to expand. I understood my market. Not only did I have cows and was doing it, I worked with customers on a daily basis that had cows. Some of them had registered herds. And at that point, you could buy a really nice papered heifer for about $300 to $400 a head over a pretty darn nice commercial heifer. I recognized the opportunity, and we expanded. In 08 and 09, we went from 40 head to about 120 cows that year, or those 2 years. Then, as time came, the herd eventually got to about 200 cows. I was working full-time. I needed to be at home full-time, and neither of those were 40-hour jobs. So at the 2013 sale, we planned on retiring, at least for now. We quit our job, and we came home to the farm full-time. Since then, we've grown our herd to just about 300 cows, or just over 300 cows, and we implant about 500 embryos in outside cooperator herds. This is going to allow us to market over 150 bulls this year, 60 or 70 heifer calves, and a handful of donors and other bred cows. So what have I learned? I don't know. Some of the lessons and observations that I'm going to share with you are things that we've seen over the past couple of years. First of all, you need to define your program. What's your vision? It's extremely important. I feel it's extremely important to have a business plan. If you don't know how to write a business plan, there's a tremendous amount of really good books out there. You can find books on the internet or business plans on the internet. I'm sure for Cassie, we can find a video of how to write a business plan on the internet. but develop your plan and work it. Keep the big picture in mind. Don't just think about what you're doing and what you want to do. Our tagline is genetics focused on real value, and we think about that almost every single day. When I make a mating decision in my herd, it needs to positively affect the cow-calf producer, the backgrounder, the feedlot, the packer, and it needs to also increase demand for beef by creating an exceptionally dining experience for someone. And I feel that for a young person today, if you can't keep the big picture in mind of how it gets to the plate and that each spot needs to have a positive cash flow working with whatever you do, you're going to be in trouble someday. The way information and data is transferred and kept at this day and age, there's no room for, well, it works for me, the next guy will figure it out. So keep the big picture in mind. This one's really important. Work on your business, not just in your business. When I was selling feed, I put about 80,000 miles a year on. That part was great. I had tons of time to think, to plan, to dream, I could picture almost every one of my cows and mate every one of them while I went down the road. I knew them all heart by heart, and I knew exactly what each one needed to have to improve them. But then I'd go work with feed dealers, or I'd go work with cow-calf operators or feedlots. They were so busy working in their business, they never had time to plan. And I didn't understand that because I had lots of time to plan. But as I've come home, I find myself having to remind myself time and time again, you got to get away. You got to come to something like this. You're going to pick up a thought today or this week, and you're going to have a nice drive home to think about it. How can I implement that? How can I change something in my operation? So I'll say it again, work on your business, not just in your business. And avoid distractions. For myself, and I assume a lot of young people, the worst thing that I can do is one of the best tools I have. It's carrying my phone with me. It's always dinging, beeping, buzzing, sending me an email, giving me a call, giving me a text. When I'm out rotating heifers in the pasture, I need to pay attention to grass conditions. I need to pay attention to the cattle, where they're eating, what they're eating, and really what's going on out there. As a breeder, I need to understand the phenotype of every single animal because I'm going to mate them individually to try to make them better. And if I'm getting 3 calls, 4 text messages, and 6 emails, that time I'm out there, I'm not paying attention to what's making me money in my business. Secondly, education never ends. If you don't have an education, first of all, go get one. Learn something. Learn something about what you're passionate about. Add to your skill set. I knew nutrition really well. I didn't feel I was great on animal health. I spent a lot of time studying animal health, developing a plan for our operation. Something I took away from my time playing football is every year we had spring ball. For 3 or 4 weeks in the spring, we got together, we practiced, and we never had a game. Well, we never had a game outside of ourselves. So we got to really refine and define our crafts. I try to do that now each and every year. Take a couple weeks in the spring after I get my matings done. I take extra time away from the ranch, and I pick one topic. Maybe it's animal health. Or for us, it's been genomics or DNA, and we really dive into something for a short period of time to try to increase our knowledge and our ability in that area. Seek a mentor, someone that can help you along the way. Learn from their mistakes, but really learn what's helped make them successful, what's driven them to be good at what they do. Understand your market, and then meld it together with your vision for what you're doing. Don't create a product and find out that no one really wants what you have. Figure out what the marketplace wants, and then mesh it with your vision and your plan. And then ask good questions. It's not so much even of other people. That's obvious, I think. It's ask good questions of yourself. Why do we do it like this? Why does this gate swing this way? If the answer is because it always has, we probably at least need to dig a little bit deeper. Embrace change. Several of the speakers today and yesterday and tomorrow, they're on this program. If we would have come together to do this 5 years ago, these are topics that never would have been brought up. We wouldn't have had a speaker to speak on some of the stuff we've talked about this week. So embrace change. Things are happening. Expect adversity. I told you about our first sale. When I planned to retire from the feed industry and come home full time, that sale got snowed out. But we had a plan in mind. We knew when we called it off that day, the postcards went out, and about 95% of our customers had a postcard in the mail with a new sale and time on it the day before when the sale was supposed to be. Brian Bledsoe talked about having a drought plan. Prepare for adversity. So in summary, we talked about defining your program, having a plan, and working it. Your education should never end. There's a tremendous amount of books out there, magazines, industry publications, meetings like this. If you're here today, you should be here in 2 years when they have this again. Embrace change. It's going to happen. And then expect adversity. Finally, in closing, the real question is, how bad do you want it? Ups and downs come, and things change, but you need to prepare for that. If you look around at the people that are sitting in this room, the wisdom and the knowledge is right here in these walls to get you a long ways to being successful. They can't give you everything, but the information that's here, get to know the people that are here with you, because a lot of them have been through a lot of pretty cool stuff and have learned a lot of lessons along the way. And if you'll just get in your car, go visit them on the ranch, a lot of them are extremely helpful. Thank you.